You are listening to The Scriptures Are Real, a podcast with Carrie Muelstein, a Beehive Broadcast production. Hello and welcome to The Scriptures Are Real podcast. I am your host, Carrie Muelstein, and I want to welcome you to a very special episode. This is actually where I was a guest for Thriving LDS Singles, but as I looked at the topic they wanted me to talk about, I thought this is something that will be really valuable for my audience and for understanding the Old Testament. And so I asked if we could make it a joint broadcast. And so you'll hear them introducing me and themselves and their podcast. But all along, we're planning on releasing this for my audience because I think that this has some stuff in it that will really help you find value in your Old Testament studies. So we're releasing it right here at the beginning so that it can help you throughout the year.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Thriving LDS Singles podcast. And we're so excited to have you here, and we have a guest speaker today that's going to blow your mind. So I just want to introduce myself a little bit. I'm Kay Bailey. I live in Brisbane in Australia. That's why Kim gets me to introduce these, because she likes my accent. So I hope you all like my accent. I'm single in that my husband died 7 years ago, but 40 years ago, I also was divorced. So I'm single both ways. And Kim and I met on a different program, and we enjoyed talking to each other so much about the challenges and gospel and church that we decided we would run a podcast, because we wanted to help people understand that being single is not the end of the earth, and we're not failures or, you know, has-beens in the church. And so that's why we're doing this podcast. And we have been doing it for 2 years, would you believe? We just talked about it. It's like 2 years, Kim. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and my co-host, Kim. So, hi, Kim. Welcome.
Hello, Kay. I do love Kay's accent, but I love just Kay as the human being, too. So we have a lot of common interests, and someday we're going to meet in person. We'll see. But just for a little bit of background on me, I have a doctorate in behavioral health management. Most of my background's in software engineering and very technical. And I made a pivot when I went through my divorce after 35 years of marriage and focused on behavioral health and getting myself well. And so that's where the behavioral health management comes into play. But most of my career has been focused on healthcare and behavior. I'm fascinated by behavior, and so is Kay, in human development. I am a late bloomer. I didn't go through the temple until I was 52. And so I have a tremendous hunger for the gospel and gospel principles and learning about the gospel. And that's where I made the connection with Carrie, because Carrie has a podcast. It's a Come Follow Me podcast, but he also wrote a book. And ever since I read the book, I've been really wanting to talk to him in length about relationships. And the book that I first got introduced to was the Easter Connection book. And then he's written over 12 books, 12, maybe at least 12 books, I guess, maybe more. But the latest book is on the Old Testament. And so I just love some of his thoughts and the things that he shared about our relationship, covenant relationship with God, and how important that is, especially for the singles. And so I'm super, super excited to have Carrie on. Kay, if you want to do more introduction about Carrie, and then turn it over to him, because I'm sure he'll have things to add.
Yes. So today, yes, we're very privileged to have Carrie Muelstein as our guest. And he's a professor at BYU in ancient scripture. So most of us would go, ugh. Anyway, so we're going to learn how it can be really exciting. And as we know, next year we're doing, in the Come Follow Me, we're doing the Old Testament. So many of us are going to need that support. And Carrie's written a book, a companion of the study, Come Follow Me study for the Old Testament. So Carrie, we're very grateful to have you as part of our interview today and our Come Follow Me study. So thank you.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you. I'm excited. Anytime I get to talk about covenants and covenant relationships and the Old Testament, I'm a happy guy. So thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Well, welcome. So tell us a bit about your story. Like, obviously, as BYU professor, you've obviously got some degrees and things happening around there.
Yeah, most of that is pretty boring, but I mean, I can just tell you quickly. I have like my bachelor's in psychology with a Hebrew minor. Then I did a master's in Near Eastern studies in Hebrew and a PhD in Egyptology and Hebrew language and literature. I've written several books on the Old Testament or on Isaiah or the Abrahamic covenant, and that's where a lot of the angles I've been taking lately come from that. So, for example, the Easter Connection book that was mentioned, that Dr. Cobbler, I don't know if you'd like me to call you
You
Dr.
could call me
Cobbler or
Kim.
Kim or
Please
what.
call me Kim.
Okay, Kim mentioned that was where I thought, okay, now that I've learned so much about the covenant, if I apply that lens to the last day of the Savior's life, does it take me somewhere else? And it did. It took me somewhere, it dramatically changed the way I understood what Christ was doing for us. And so I've been just playing around with things like that lately. Recently submitted a book on ancient temples and how they help us understand modern temples. So we'll see if that ever gets published. But those kinds of lenses are what I have fun with.
That
That's
sounds
awesome.
fantastic. So, personally, married, children.
I am married to a wonderful woman, Julianne, and we have six children. One of whom is married, but by the end of November, so by the time this podcast airs for my podcast and this joint broadcast, two more, all three of my daughters will be married by the time we air this. I
Big
have a
year for your
son.
family.
Even a big month. They're just a week and a half apart from each other, these weddings.
Oh,
So
really?
we're trying to survive that.
Yeah.
But I have one son who better not be married by that point because he's on a mission, he in Honduras. And then I have a son who is divorced and has a wonderful son. He's our only grandchild. We love that little guy. And then another son. So we have three boys and three girls. We planned it out perfectly. And he's going to school, and anyway, they're just great kids, wonderful. They give us a run for our money, but they're wonderful.
Yeah, so you
Awesome.
survived, you've nearly survived the teens.
Yeah, nearly. Although we did just bring in a relative that needed just a different environment to be in for a while. So we have a 13-year-old at home again. We were empty nesters for a month, and now we have a 13-year-old with us as well, and she's wonderful also.
Was just gonna say, wait till that. Are you an empty nester yet? Because that's a whole different thing in life. So
Yeah. Well, we'll
you
see.
took care of that.
We don't know. This is potentially another 5 years. We don't know exactly how this phase will go, but it may be that it's 5 more years before we try being empty nesters again. We'll see.
Yeah, well, I did that. I've got I took on a grandchild that needed a home. And so yeah, went through those last few years of school again. It's like just teaching her to drive. I'm like, I thought I was over teaching people to drive.
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking. Like, wait, I thought I was over dealing with teenage girls that were meeting boys. How's this happen? Anyway,
Yeah, how's this happen? That's right.
but it's fun.
It's a
It's
rough time.
great. It's fun. It's all fun.
So what got you into like the Old Testament? As I guess I was being a bit facetious, but most of us look at the Old Testament and go, "Oh, yuck! Like this is hard."
I loved it from when I was in primary. I have
Really?
always loved the Old Testament, and I have found, and the more I study it, the more I see it's true. If you don't understand the Old Testament, you're not going to understand the rest of Scripture. They all presuppose that you understand the Old Testament. And so I love studying it because it really does help me understand everything else better. I love the connections, I love the symbols, I love just everything about it. It's just fun to me.
Wow, how did a primary kid figure that out? I figured it out. I was teaching Come Follow Me. No, before it was Come Follow Me, I was teaching gospel doctrine, and I remember getting to the Old Testament and getting through the Isaiah chapters and went, "Hey, I can actually say that my soul delighteth in Isaiah. I can say
See, you make me happy. That's good. So for me, it probably is I love a good story. And in primary, that's pretty much what they do is they tell you scripture stories. And honestly, the best scripture stories are in the Old Testament. That's where the best stories are. mean, you're not going to rival the Exodus story with really anything other than the Atonement story.
Well, we all love the Noah story in primary, don't we?
Noah, Daniel in the lion's den, all that stuff, right? We
That's
love those
true.
stories.
That's true. But then, like, as we get to be adults, we discover that, and I think this is where we're going today with our talk, is that the families are definitely not perfect.
And for me,
So,
that was exciting.
yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to see that you can be fantastic people in messy family situations.
And the mistakes that, the prophets we hold up as, like this gold standard, they weren't really living good lives at various times. They were, that
Yeah,
was.
or sometimes just the best life they could figure out how to live, right? Like just struggling to figure out what do I do in this situation? This is a, and maybe they made the best choice, maybe not, but I think they were trying to figure out what to do in some really tough situations, and I can empathize with that. Sometimes you just look at the situation you're in and like I don't see the really right answer here. All I see are a bunch of better than other messes.
Yeah, that's so true.
I actually quoted that recently to someone who was questioning their testimony around Joseph Smith, and they sort of like, I didn't realize, all these issues about Joseph Smith. And I'm going, he was a man and a prophet. Like he, you like we forget that these Old Testament prophets were just as messy. We
Well,
hold them.
and like Joseph Smith and so many of those prophets, they were put in crucibles. They were put in really, it's same with Joseph Smith, put in really tough, like boiler situations, right? And pressure cooker situations. And God put them in those because it would refine them, but we can't expect everything to be perfect in the middle of a pressure situation like that.
Yeah, I really like that thought. And the relationship started from the very beginning. From Adam and Eve forward, we started learning about the challenges of relationships and communication and trust and all the things that we still all really struggle with even today. So,
I agree. And maybe we can start there for just a second. And I think
yeah.
this will tie in with some of the ideas in that book, The Easter Connection, because we often think of, okay, these tough relationships Adam and Eve have because they have children that are choosing to follow Satan and they have one son kill another, which I think is a difficult situation. But it's not their first relationship problem. Their first relationship problem is that they lose their relationship with God. And while I think they were probably thrilled when they learned that God has something in place to restore that relationship, it doesn't get fully restored at all during their lifetime. It gets partially restored, but there is a rupture in what was the most important relationship in their life. At the fall, and as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we believe that was the right decision. The phrase that is often used, both President Oaks and President Nelson have used this phrase to describe Ease. They say, "We honor her courage and wisdom," which tells us that she had a decent understanding of what she was doing. She knew it was hard, and she was courageous enough to do it, right? Someone that we can respect and emulate in that way, well, hope to emulate. I don't know if any of us are as brave as Mother Eve, but in any case, so it was a decision they knew they had to make, but it came with a cost, and I don't think they understood how high that cost would be. I don't both in terms of how difficult mortal life would be, but also in terms of how painful it was to lose relationship with God and to be cast out of his presence and not visit. This is someone that they had face-to-face conversations with that I am sure they had an incredibly deep relationship with. How can you not when you're with God? And then to have that completely ruptured and lose that and know that it's some distant future that you can regain that. That's a pain that they had to deal with, and I think was the first real relationship loss that they went through.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And it's I think in your book you talk about just kind of that innate craving that we are all born with because we lose that relationship. And sadly, I think so many nowadays, with so many options in the world, it's so easy to turn to other things to satisfy the craving short term.
Yes, that's
And
the problem, isn't it? Yeah, so that was a blessing Adam and Eve had. They couldn't say, okay, I feel this lost, I feel empty, I'm gonna doom scroll for a while. Or
Exactly.
even I'm gonna binge watch for a while, or even I'm gonna eat tons of ice cream for a while.
Right.
That just wasn't an option for them. They were so fortunate, and we can learn about this a little in the Temple or in the Book of Moses, that God is willing to create a covenant relationship with them right away. And what a blessing that is, that and that will become the theme of the scriptures from that point forward, that God wants to have relationship with us, and the way to establish that relationship is by entering into a covenant with him.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think that's.
And so we hear lots about this covenant relationship, and I don't think we understand it. I don't think we really know what that means. And it's something that seems to be talked about more, or maybe President Nelson talked about it more than I've ever heard anybody talk about it before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I can tell you a little bit as I was working on my book. It's called God Will Prevail. And it is about exploring the Abrahamic or the New and Everlasting Covenant. And I had a really interesting experience as I was writing that book, because I had been teaching about the covenant for about 25 years at that point in Old Testament classes. And the very first religion class I taught, really, or any class at all that I taught, was a class on the Old Testament. And when I found out I was going to teach it, I had like about 2 months before I knew I'd be getting to Genesis 12 and the Abrahamic covenant. So I just started going through the scriptures everywhere I could and collecting, okay, this is part of the covenant, this is part of the covenant. And I made little bullet points on a transparency. That's how old this is. And on a little transparency. And then when I got PowerPoints, and, well, first of all, it was Corel presentations and PowerPoints, right? We have all these iterations just to date myself. But anyway, I just took those bullet points and put them on that. But when I was writing a book, I thought, well, I can't just put in just a whole bunch of bullet points. So I need to arrange these somehow. So I started trying to arrange them categorically. And I said, okay, these seem to go together, and these, they lead to these, and these seem to go together, and they lead to these. And as I did that, I realized that the governing point of all of them, the thing that started it, and if you followed from there, it led to this, to this, to this, and made the entire covenant make sense, was that God wants a relationship with us. It was the defining point. And I at that point, I realized that really that's the entire reason for the plan of salvation. God wants to have a closer relationship with us. He knows it will bring us more joy and him more joy. But in order to have a closer relationship with him, we have to be more like him. There's only so far you can go in a relationship when there's a huge difference between you. And we know that, like, you have a wonderful relationship with an infant child, but it can only go so far if they stay an infant. They have to become more like you are for that relationship to change to something deeper. And so in my belief, that's what God set this plan in motion for, was to help us become like him, so that we could have full and complete unity with him, so that we could have a fullness of joy. And about the same time I started writing that, and there is some interrelationship here I won't get into, but President Nelson started teaching about the same thing, and started teaching about the fact that when you make a covenant with God, your relationship with him changes forever, and you have greater access to his love and his mercy, a thing we call chesed. It's an Old Testament term about a special love and mercy and so on. And that really has changed the conversation about what a covenant is, and it has changed to being, this is about having a relationship with God. And I'm finding my students, I've had students ask, like, wait, why am I just hearing about this now? Why did I not hear about this when we were younger? And the answer is, well, we weren't talking about it then. We've just started talking about it in the last, say, 4 years.
Okay. So that's good, because I'm thinking the same thing. Why haven't I heard this before? Why am I just hearing about it now? So good.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah, I think that the Lord was moving on all sorts of people, President Nelson primarily, but lots of other people at the same time, to kind of get us all ready to start teaching this thing at the same time, so that we could come to this realization. And of course, his prophet was leading the way and was the one that was guiding the rest of us. But it's been marvelous to watch all sorts of other church leaders and scholars and writers and so on getting to this same place where we recognize covenant is about having a closer relationship with God. And when we do that, and then having a closer relationship with others, and when we do that, everything changes.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
It is really cool. I think it's really cool for singles. Both Kay and I have had lengthy discussions about the fact that, first of all, we go through another loss of some kind if we're a widow or divorced or of that family unit and those relationships. And so we are really keen on the pains of loss from multiple perspectives. And then really, we are often forced into just turning to God. I mean, building that relationship with through Christ it's the foundation. And we all, both Kay and I agree that we have grown so much closer in that relationship and built a much stronger relationship being single and alone than we did before. It's an unfortunate, but kind of a blessing at the same, in the same time.
Often, our most unfortunate things bring us to a most fortunate place, right? Those crucibles or Abrahamic sacrifices. In fact, as you were talking, I was just thinking, so I have a daughter who got home from her mission 11 months ago, and a son who's on a mission now. And in both cases, there have been several times where things are really tough for them, and they feel a little isolated, and there's a part of you that is very sad about that. Like you don't want them to go through that. It's painful, but there's a part of you that is very happy because you know that the only place they can turn to is God, and that's exactly what's supposed to happen in this little mini crucible of a mission, right? But a mission is just a microcosm of life, and God puts us all in these crucible situations where the only way out is to draw closer to him, and it's a blessing in the end. I'm not saying that we should be happy for the pain we're going through, but it is a blessing if we do become more like God and thus are able to draw closer to him.
Mm. Yep, yeah. We would say that's the very positive about being single is that relationship is good.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that there aren't terrible, difficult, sad things that are part of that.
Mm. For sure.
Shall we go to talking about like temple marriage then? It's like how that covenant works. Is that something that you cover?
Sure.
So I'll just preface that. Kay knows that that's a tender topic for me because I didn't get sealed. I'm not sealed to my first husband because we didn't go to church. And so, yeah, that's a little bit, the temple marriage is a little bit tender topic for me. But I get all the usual reassurances, but it's still a tender topic.
And that's another one of these ironies, right? That every time we talk about, so I'll just use as an example, I recently recorded for my podcast what will be the last episode of the year where the topic is the proclamation on the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I had someone on who is fantastic. Her name is Janet Erickson. I would recommend her to everyone. If you want to talk about relationships, look at her BYU devotional in November of 2023, one of the best devotionals ever given.
Yes, we had her on, actually.
She's fantastic. Yeah. And so she was, we're recording this episode where she's going through and talking about all of the good data that backs up these things on the proclamation of the family and, mm-hmm. and things we can learn from it. And it's all fantastic. And at the same moment, I know, so my producer, I'm fortunate that my oldest son is a brand and marketing and producer. And the two of us together built a studio that we record in and so on, right? But this is my son that's divorced and doesn't get to have his child with him as much as he would like. And I'm very aware, as we're talking about all these things, that my son's right there listening. And while all of these things are true, mm-hmm. it's painful for me to hear as a grandfather who would like for things to be a little bit different, and it's painful for him to hear. So they're absolutely true. We do have to talk about them, and it's important for everyone to talk about them, and it's still painful.
Yeah. We just did a podcast because of President Oak's talk on family. I mean, that was his whole focus in General Conference. And it's hard for singles to hear. But one of the things that came out of that is just because of the fact that we know the contrast. we know what it's like to have and we know what it's like to be without it, that we have very strong testimonies about the truth of the Family Proclamation because of that.
I agree. And President Oaks, I thought, was fantastic at bringing up, okay, I know there are exceptions. I lived the exception in many ways. And we know that this and this are realities that, and so on. And yet, here's what we're aiming for. And so I think you're right. This is an interesting tension as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that we have to live with. And that is that we're in a mortal probation that is designed to be messy. It's a fallen world with fallen garbage all around us, and that's what it's supposed to be because that turns us to God, right? We signed up for that, and we have fantastic assurances that are real comforts that, okay, if you don't get married in this life, you have that opportunity in the next life. If you don't get to have children in this life, you have that opportunity in the next life. If you have a loved one that dies, you get to be with them again. And that is comforting, but it doesn't mean that this moment, and sometimes it's a long moment, even though from God's perspective, he may say that it is but for a small moment. While we're going through it, it's a long moment and it hurts. That hurt is real. The pain is real. Yes, it's nice to know that at some point this all gets sorted out. Christ makes everything right. He absolutely does. I testify of that. I'm so glad for that. It doesn't mean it makes maybe, it, I think it does make right now hurt a little less. But if we didn't love the ones that we've lost, it wouldn't hurt. But we do love them. If we didn't long for this and that and this and that, then, and I'm not saying this and that is in trivial things. They're important things. They're celestial ideas. But if we didn't long for it, then it wouldn't hurt that we don't have it. But right now, but we don't have it, so it hurts, and we're just going to have to let that keep us turning to God.
I love that.
And
And
that
I
won't
think
make it
that's
not hurt.
true. And it is one of the hardest things, like I said, because there are all so many alternatives that are pulling people away and so many other forces at work trying to make families and those covenant relationships disintegrate.
And that's the funny thing is that they all promise that this will make it so it doesn't hurt, which is just a lie. But it's a very enticing lie. So I'll just use one example that I think everyone will see. Like for many people, just getting drunk. Like, okay, I won't hurt for a little while because I'm drunk. But it always ends up in more pain, right? And that's just an example of
That story
all
after.
sort that's true of all the lies the world is telling you about how, okay, just abandon these truths from God and try this. It will take away your pain. Yeah, for a minute. And then it's worse, right? But we fall for those lies all the time.
That's so
Okay,
true.
but we were going to talk about celestial marriage, I think. Is that
Yes,
what
go
you said?
back to got a sidetrack.
So was there something in particular you wanted to talk about, Kay, or?
Well, for me, it's like I don't think I understand the whole temple ceremony of sealing and sealing families. Because, like, my question is, okay, we talk about the sealing the families and your family's going to be together and you're going to have the children and the grandchildren, and you're not, because the sealing means that you've got a mum and dad sealed. Then the children go and become adults and their mum and dad, so they're their own unit. So really, we're all our own unit. We're not sort of linked, and yet, like, explain it to me.
So I would say we are and we aren't, right? And
Okay, good.
really in
That's
the that's helpful. But let me explain what I mean by that. In the end, so if the covenant is about us having full unity with God, and let's say that I achieve full unity with God, of course, only through the atoning grace of Christ, because there's no way I'm becoming that kind of a being on my own. But if we are willing, he is able. And really, in the end, that's all it is. If we're willing, if we just keep coming to him, he's able to make it happen. And so I believe that I think it's more likely it happens for my wife than for me, but I think that it's very likely it will happen for both of us because we just, however many times we fall, we get up and say, I'm coming to you again, Christ. I'm just going to come to you again. So at some point, if we both have full unity, then that's the two of us with God. But if our children also just keep trying, and I am amazed at the power of God's chesed. that covenantal loyalty and love. And there is something, of course, everyone has their agency, but there is something to having that covenantal link with God where He will not give up on you and He will not stop. And in the end, I think God is pretty good at what He does. I can't tell you how many people I have met that have joined the church only to find out that their parents or grandparents were members of the church and had fallen away. But that covenantal tug just went and found them and brought them in, right? There is more to this than I think we understand, but we're finite enough beings that we struggle with saying, okay, wait, how does agency work with covenant and bonds and so on? I'm not sure we fully understand it. But let us just say that at least that some of our children, hopefully all of our children, also become fully unified with God. So they're a separate unit, but they're unified with God. I'm unified with God. I think that means we're all unified together. And that in the end, what we are trying to do with these sealings is seal the entire human family together, because that's what God wants, is His family sealed together. Obviously, some people will choose not to. They'll just opt out. But again, I think God is pretty good at what He does, and I think that far more than we suspect will be saved, because He is mighty to save, and we will have these bonds with each other where we are as fully unified with God as Christ is with God, and all of us fully unified with each other as Christ is with God. At least that's what Christ teaches in His great intercessory prayer. And so I think those units will be real, separate and together. Maybe the example to use is that you find these houses in the Savior's day, these great big houses that are multi-generational houses, and each little couple has their own spot, but it's part of a big household with a big courtyard, and they're separate and together at the same time.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting because I do a lot of, have you heard of the Blue Zones or
Oh,
happiness
yeah.
through the Blue Zones, health and wellness. And
Yeah,
that is
my
one of
daughter
the
got me a
prime,
book on Blue Zones. So, yeah.
yeah. One of the primary thinking or philosophies of that is that everybody is their community. They're all close. They're within walking distance. The families take care of each other and, you know, they're
Yes.
not in the same place, but they're neighbors and they're close enough in proximity to nurture each other and take care of each other. And it is proven that those are the happier, healthier communities. And
Yep.
so, yeah, I think there is a lot to that.
There's a ton of data about that
Yeah.
relational support that is what makes the difference in life. It's the factor that makes a difference in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's tough to hear when you feel alone.
Yeah, it is.
That
Tell me
is
about
really
it.
tough to
All
hear
my
when you
children
feel
are in
alone.
Utah, so I do often feel very alone here, because
Yeah.
all my siblings, parents, and children are all live in Utah. I'm the only one here in Arizona, so.
Yeah, and sometimes you can be living in close proximity to your family and still feel alone because of
Yeah.
different issues in your family and so on, right? In
Yeah.
fact, I think if we're going to tie this into the Old Testament, which I tend to do, and I'll just tell you one of the reasons I am excited for us to study the Old Testament, and I hope there are a lot of things people struggle with. And I've got like an introductory lesson on my podcast for the Old Testament year where I'll go through some of the things that people struggle with and how they can find some answers. That's why I wrote this book, Inspirations and Insights on the Old Testament, to help deal with some of those answers. And I have several other books on the Old Testament can help with it. But I believe that the Old Testament teaches us more about coming to God through family struggles than any other book of scripture. And by through, I mean by means of, but also just while you're in the middle of messy family situations, right? It's so powerful. One of the great things about the Old Testament, it is what some people struggle with, but one of the great things about the Old Testament is you get the warts and all version. Like the Book of
Yeah.
Mormon sanitizes a little bit, right? It will tell you, okay, Laman and Lemuel wanted to kill Nephi and Lehi, but it doesn't tell you some of the, every now and then you get a glimpse, like I love Nephi, but every now and then you're like, whoa, that was something to say to them, Nephi. Okay, but the Old Testament just airs all the dirty laundry,
Yeah, right
and
from the beginning, just right
yeah.
from the very first moments of Adam and Eve and feeling ashamed and
And then their children immediately choose to follow Satan rather than God. And then they have a son who they think is going to follow God, but instead he kills his brother and makes a covenant with God, Satan. I mean, right from the beginning. And then you get in the key family, Abraham, and his family's got all sorts of mess. And then Isaac's family has a bit of mess. And then Jacob's family has all sorts of mess, right? I mean,
Yeah,
just
it just
in
keeps
every way
going.
possible. And that's one of the things that's worth thinking about. Jacob, he flees his family because his brother wants to kill him. So he goes and he finds other family. And he falls head and heels in love with Rachel and works 7 years to marry Rachel and then is tricked by his father-in-law to marry someone who I'm sure he thought was very nice, but is not who he was head and heels over love in love with and had worked 7 years to marry. And this sets up one of the most difficult family situations I can imagine.
Yeah,
Can
heartbreaking.
you, can you imagine being Leah? Knowing,
No.
okay,
I think
you
I
just
might have
married me and
been
you don't
Carrie.
who
I
what's that?
said I think I might have been Carrie.
Well, but what a terrible thing to say, okay, you didn't want to marry me, but here we are. Or Rachel. Can you imagine on that night, like, okay, I thought we were getting married tonight and my sister's in with Jacob. Or Jacob. I mean, this no one wants to be in this situation, but they are. And then they have to work their way through it with a lot of complex human emotions. And it's just tricky. It really is. But for each one of them, as you follow the story, for each one of them, their consolation, their things that get them through are that they keep finding those moments where they draw closer to God. In the midst of incredible family pain and also some bliss, there are some great family moments for them, and there are a lot of really, really difficult family moments for them. But they keep drawing closer to God, to where you get one of my favorite moments in the Old Testament. I just resonate with this so much, is when Jacob is taking his family back to the land of Canaan or to their promised land, and he's only doing it because God told him to. He was ready to stay even though things were a mess with Laban and his whole family. He was ready to stay, and he's going knowing that his brother, the last time he saw his brother wanted to kill him. And it becomes very, very clear he is pretty sure his brother's going to kill him and his entire family. So he's dividing the family in half. Can you imagine that? Like, I hope at least half my kids survive. I can't even imagine. And he's sending out all these gifts to his brother Esau, saying, please, don't come kill us all. Don't come kill us. So he does everything he can. And all that he has left is to turn to God. That's the only thing left that he can do. And he honestly is terrified. So to me, this is an Abrahamic sacrifice. He basically says to God, look, I know all of my children, everyone I love, might die here, but I've put them in this situation because you asked me to be here. That's an Abrahamic sacrifice. And then he has that wrestle with that angel and draws closer to God, right? And that's what President Nelson talks about in Let God Prevail in Your Life. And that's where my book title, God Will Prevail, it comes from, is this idea that in that moment of crisis, the beautiful bright spot is Jacob is all the closer to God. He does have a different relationship with him after that. The covenant moves forward, the relationship moves forward, and things are, it doesn't mean that all of his pains are over. Nope, he's going to have sons that do stupid things and sons that sell their brothers to someone else, and his Rachel is going to die, and all sorts of stuff. And he thinks his son is dead. He has all sorts of pain after this. But it's a different thing because his relationship has moved forward. That's what a powerful lesson the Old Testament teaches us, that even in the midst of the mess and the pain, we can find that consolation. We can find joy in increasing our relationship with God through the covenant.
Well, and even
Wow.
back to I know that is beautiful. Even back to Abraham and Sarah, I think this is another key thing is God's timing, right? And when should we take things into our own hands and take control versus relying on God? And that's a constant struggle, but definitely illustrated in that story with what happens with Sarah.
Again and again and again. Even to the point, I think of Abraham when he's been promised they're going to have a child together, he and Sarah, and it's just not happening. And he gets to a moment where he says basically, okay, am I supposed to adopt my steward? Is that how this happens? And when he's at that point, I can resonate with that as well, because we've probably all, I know I have, probably everyone has had moments where you say, okay, God promised me this, and it's not happening the way I thought it was. Do I just need to change my expectations? Did I just misunderstand what God was promising? And sometimes that is the case. Sometimes we made some assumptions and presumptions that this is how it's going to happen, and we're just wrong. And sometimes it's just that the timing isn't there yet. In the end, the only way to know is to stay faithful and keep coming to God. And sooner or later, he'll let us know, no, you were wrong on this. You should adopt Eleazar. Or no, your son is still coming. Just wait, right? And depending upon whether you go with the Genesis account or the Book of Abraham account, he's waiting like 25 or 38 years for that. That's a long time to wait for God to say, okay, I'm going to do this for you. And 38 years later, you're like, when is this happening?
We all feel that way because there's so many that have been promised, that they would find a new partner and it's not happening and they
Or a
want to
first
jump
partner.
into a relationship, or a first partner and it's not happening and it's so easy to get tempted to get into a relationship too soon or, take matters into our own hands.
And I think loneliness is, it may be the greatest pain in the world. It's got to be up there. Loneliness is terrible. But I think what's worse than loneliness from not having all of the human connections you want is not having those and not having connection with God. That's a worse pain than the other loneliness. They're both terrible, but oh, how important it is to keep that covenant relationship with God, that just keep improving that relationship with God. It doesn't mean everything's happy and fine, but it's better than it will be without it.
I think that's a really valuable message for our audience. I think that's wonderful if we can just keep remembering that. And you made me think that the Old Testament might be something worth studying.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, you look at the lives of these people, whether it's Hannah or Samson, Dingy Samson, that's, but anyway, or Samuel and his sons, or David. I mean, again and again and again, what you see is people who have all sorts of mess, all sorts of pain. They're doing the best they can where they are,
And
and
it's definitely
when they,
unfiltered.
yeah, it is unfiltered. It is. You get
Old
warts and
Samson
all.
story, I don't know. I've heard that when they talk about censoring books and they're going, you're like, well, if you're going to censor books on those grounds, you should censor the Old Testament.
The Old Testament would be very short, but in the end, there really is something that is liberating in reading about. I mean, Abraham is one of the God is clear. He's one of the greatest people that ever lived. He is, by the time we receive section 132, he is already exalted. And Abraham goes through mess. Jacob is already exalted. He goes through mess, right? And sometimes I think he's trying to figure out what to do, and he may or may not come up with the best solution. I don't know. Sometimes there is no good solution, and maybe he came up with the best, and sometimes it was like the fifth best. I don't know. But
You
the
certainly got
fact,
questions about them, don't you? So, like, if this is the prophet and this is the decision he makes, whoa, it doesn't look so good,
Although
does it?
the question is, what was the better decision? I mean, often I ask myself, I look like, why'd they do that? Okay, what would I do? I don't know what's a better answer, right? I really just, and so I'll cut them some
Well,
slack just
sleeping with
because
your
I'm hoping.
sister, your daughter-in-law, or giving the birthright to somebody, the other child, and like they're not good decisions, really.
I think there are some answers to help us with some of those, and some of those you're right. Like if you're going to talk about like Lot and his daughters, like no, that was just wrong. But and that's an important thing to recognize that the Bible's not telling us, okay, everything that we record in here was people doing things right. That's not the case. It records all the wrong stuff too. But in the end, it is incredibly comforting to see that great, great people, Sarah and Abraham, Rebecca is one of my all-time heroes. Rebecca and Isaac, Rachel, Leah, Zilpah, Bilhah, and Jacob. Oh no, wait. Who did I leave? I say Rachel, Leah. I think I said them all. Anyway, they all did something, some stupid things. They all were in the middle of dealing with really painful things, and they all were incredible people. I mean, not perfect people. Like, I think that Rachel was struggling with idolatry for most of her life, maybe all the way to the end of her life. But she was trying, and she was getting better, and she was becoming something, right? And to be able to say, okay, these are people that had struggles and did their best in those struggles, and sometimes their best wasn't actually all that good. And sometimes it was incredibly good. But and again, like I mean, I can't judge others too much because I don't know that I would have had better ideas in a lot of those situations. But
Yeah,
like
that's
I
right.
just don't know. I don't know what you do when you have two sisters that you're married to and you really did fall in love with one more than the other, but you want to be nice. I don't know how you're supposed to behave in that situation. I just don't know what's the right answer there. But the fact of the matter is that it's messy, like my life is messy, and they were great people that kept coming to God, and God took care of them. He brought them to exaltation. If that's not a good message, I don't know what is.
That's actually a brilliant message, isn't it? So we're in this messy life. Just hang in there because he can bring everybody to exaltation. Like
Yeah.
he can get you there.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to wrap this up,
Okay.
which is a real pity because I'm like, I want to talk about this, and like I all know,
the
so just many ask you all these Old stories.
Testament questions. So we're going to have to listen to your Old Testament podcast, aren't we? That's exactly what you should do. I am trying to make it like the stop, the podcast stop for, and I love lots of podcasts, but this is the podcast stop for the Old Testament where we're going to have most episodes. I mean, sometimes it just won't work, but most episodes we're going to have like a little Hebrew, a little archaeology, a little this, that, to help people understand what they need to understand to get the Old Testament. Then we're going to have bonus material for those who want, where I'll do long classes and I'll show geography and whatever else. If you, however much you want to get into the Old Testament, you're going to find it on our podcast.
That
Okay,
would be
what's your
awesome.
podcast called? It's called The Scriptures Are Real.
The scriptures are real. Good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
All
that's what
right.
we'll go through, all these little real things like, okay, here's the actual spot where they lived and this is what they did and so on. So
The
we'll
other
make
thing
it
I love
real for
about
you.
your, not only because you do talk about the Hebrew in your book, in your companion book that you just finished, but I love the approach you've taken with helping us understand some of the symbolism. That's so helpful. So.
I'm glad. Yeah,
Yeah,
we'll
I
have
love that.
symbolism in each episode too, I believe. So
Yeah.
yeah. So
And
I
I want to know how David keeps being the person we look up to, and yet David felt like, yeah. So some questions.
okay, we can talk about all of that, and I do address most of those major questions in the book. I had more I wanted to do, but it's already the longest of that series, and so it could only be so long before it became cost prohibitive for the publisher. But so not everything I wanted to talk about, but most of the questions I get from students again and again. So I've been teaching Old Testament for over 30 years now. And so the questions
They
that I
heard
get
the
again and
questions.
again and again, that I put those in the book.
Okay. All Yeah. right. So everybody, get excited about the Old Testament and realize that it's just our life being shown. Yeah,
Messy
that's lives.
right.
Yeah. And the answer is keep turning to God, keep going back to God and build that covenant relationship.
That is the answer, isn't it? And that you do that through Christ. But that is the answer.
Yes.
Don't lose that relationship. When other relationships are falling apart, when other emptiness is happening, don't compound it by losing that relationship. Instead, put the pedal to the metal on that relationship. You know, is that an Australian phrase where our Australian friends get pedal to the metal?
Yep, we've got that one.
All right, good deal. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Kerry. It was Thank you
great
so
talking
much,
to you.
Carrie. It's such a pleasure to chat with you. And
It is my pleasure.
all right, everybody. Thank you and stay tuned for next week. Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to the Scriptures Are Real podcast with Carrie Mielstein, brought to you by Beehive Broadcast. Turn to Beehive Broadcast for all your podcasting needs and to find all the content you could want.